Take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. And we'll look at verses 5 through 15 tonight. And we're looking at Stephen the deacon. And we'll end up in chapter 7 later on. I would just request your prayers for Carla and I. We have an opportunity to speak with Charity this week on Tuesday, and she needs all the encouragement she can get. They are in a lockdown situation as well, and she sent a picture of her little boy, and she's got a Chinese name for him now. It's not only Zachary, he's Enzi. Enza. And so the picture was, they were listening to the service at Fourth Baptist Church, and she had a little Bible that she had given to Enza, and he was thumbing through the pages, and she was trying to teach him to be quiet during the service. And the last picture was that he was sitting up next to the computer looking at the pastor. Okay, so interesting, but pray for us. She needs a lot of encouragement spiritually. They don't have much there, and very limited time out as well. And so pray for us as we try and do that. And also pray for Brother John Fawcett. I talked with him a little bit this week. He needs a lot of encouragement, and perhaps a phone call, a card in the mail would certainly encourage him as well. All right, Acts chapter 6 and verses 5 through 15. The Bible says, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Procurius, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenius, and Timon, and Parmenius, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. So those that chose the whole multitude were those that were in the Jerusalem church. And I believe that these were the first deacons there in the church. It says, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. Now, you say, where and what is all that all about? This was about Jewish people that had been dispersed in different places, and as they had been dispersed, they kept their faith, and they had to be rather rigorous in their faith to uphold those things. And isn't it interesting here that one of these is from Cilicia? Anybody know who was from Cilicia? Yes, Saul, okay? And that is very interesting as well. We'll come back to that later. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council, and set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against the holy place and the law, for we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council looked steadfastly on him and saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Heavenly Father, we ask as we look in your word tonight that you might inspire us to be a man like Stephen. Father, that our character might certainly be that which would be winsome, to others, but also be a steadfast soldier for Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for what you did through the life of Stephen and for what you can do as the same God today as we desire to serve you and give our lives wholeheartedly to you. Father, we do pray that you might continue to meet the needs of this Mr. Herman, and also, Father, that you would encourage John and Charity and Kimberly as she's back on the field now. And Father, we pray that she might have fruitful days there in Peru. Father, thank you for your goodness and grace to each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. There are two officers, scriptural officers, in the Biblical Baptist Church, and that is pastor and deacons. Stephen is a portrait of all that a deacon can be that is totally submitted to the will of God. The qualifications of a deacon are found in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. And as we studied last week, both pastor and deacon share many of those same qualifications. They must be saved men, spiritual men, selfless, serving, sacrificial, stewards, separated, selected by the local church, solution-oriented, and team-spirited. That's 10 different shared qualifications, I believe, for deacons. They share also a common function in ministry. They are servants of the Lord. And tonight I want to highlight in the life of Stephen a deacon that demonstrated that he was not only qualified, but surrendered to the will of God without reservation. Tonight we will see several descriptions of Stephen, who loved the Lord with all his heart. I believe, first of all, the first description that we see here tonight is that Stephen was a spirit-filled servant. It's interesting in Acts chapter 6 and verse 5 is that the church chose Stephen because he was a man who met their qualifications, one who was of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. And then it says again in verse 5 that he was a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Certainly, I believe that it is important for a deacon to have faith, to trust in God, not to trust in himself or who he is, but what God is in him. And I was reading one commentary today, and it said, by faith, we are emptied of ourself and filled with the Spirit of God. That's interesting, isn't it? When we are trusting God, we empty ourselves of our own dependence and we depend upon God. And then a man full of the Holy Ghost. Certainly that was true of Stephen as you look at his life, his boldness, and the ministry that he carried on, even as a deacon. It's so interesting to me. Where were the apostles in all of this? Okay? They were kind of... You know what Matthew Henry says? Matthew Henry says, they were so occupied with the word and with prayer. And here is Stephen. He says, not me, man. I'm going out there and I'm going to be where the people are. Amen? And that was Stephen. He was reaching out and going out and not into easy territory. When he went to the synagogue of these Jewish people who were well entrenched in their faith, and we're not about to give it up. He was certainly entering opposition territory. But he went. And so he was a man full of Holy Ghost. He was first. It's interesting also in verse 5 that he is the first one mentioned of the seven deacons that were chosen, as it says in verse 3. We also see that Stephen was a spirit-filled man in that he was chosen to be a servant that served among the needy. A spirit-filled man is a humble man. There's no job too small for a humble man. He sees the needs of others. And I believe that even as the pastor must exhibit that humility, a deacon must exhibit that humility, that they see the needs of others and reach out to those, even if they must humble themselves. And so that was important as well. What kind of garb did Stephen where? He was a waiter on tables. Have you ever seen a waiter on tables? They wear an apron, right? You know, with the little menu thing that they've got to hand out and all the things that they got to jot down about who they're waiting upon and try to make it just as enjoyable as possible what they're going to give out, okay? And certainly that was Stephen. He was in that humble garb. He was one that met the physical and the spiritual needs of those within the church. I believe that not only did Stephen bring meals to the widows, but I believe he probably brought a spiritual feast to them. I am more and more concerned that we need to be encouraging one another. Amen? We need to be out talking to John. And I got John finally talking to me the other day, and John took the words right out of my mouth. He said, "It's so good to be lifted up." And I just said, "Yes, that's what we're trying to do." And certainly we need to not only have that fellowship that is around food, but we also need that spiritual fellowship around the spiritual food of the scriptures. And so that is important for us as well. The church was blessed with the fruit of Stephen's service as the disciples multiplied and the word of God increased in verse 7. That wasn't just because of the apostles. That was because there was this team spirit in the leadership and the pastors and the deacons and all of them in the church, they were working together to see these things go to as a team. Certainly that was a blessing as well amongst those that were spirit-filled. God chose to place his power and his wisdom on Stephen as well. We see in Acts chapter 6 and verse 8, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." Certainly, Stephen used God's gifts to show God's power. And certainly, his power was evident upon Stephen, as we see in these verses today. Stephen reached out to those that were outside of the church, not only those that were inside the church. Certainly, I believe a good deacon will see not only the things that are inside the church, but see the needs of those outside the church as a witness for the Lord. Certainly that is important as well. Stephen handled the word of God skillfully, and we find that he did so against a great opposition in verse 9, but also in verse 10 it says, "And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake." Can you imagine that? He was so skillful that they couldn't resist his answers. And certainly they could not support their arguments because of what was going on there. Certainly in Luke chapter 21 and verse 15, Jesus is talking about the things that are going to happen before 70 AD. And he said to his disciples that they were not to meditate ahead, but that they were to depend upon what he would fill their mouths with under the control of the Spirit of God, and God did that. And so we find here that they could not resist the things that Stephen was saying as one that was under the control of the Spirit of God. I believe the second description of this deacon Stephen was that he was a soldier of Jesus Christ. We find him entering into the battle there in the synagogue with these people, and certainly they did not like the fact that they had been, as it were, defeated by his words and by his power and by his faith. They could not hold a candle to any of that, and so they decided that they had to have some extra help, and so they hired some help. They suborned people, men, false witnesses that would go, and a suborn means to instruct in what is to be said, and then hired them to swear to it that they would do it. And so that's what they did. They gathered this these false witnesses, and that wasn't all that they did. They stirred up the crowd. They stirred up, the Bible says, the people and the elders and the scribes and the council. They certainly were no longer doing this in their own weakness that had been displayed. Now they said, we're going to just make this a mob scene. Isn't that the ways many times that Satan tries to gang up on our witness, our testimony? He tries to gather great opposition together. But what he doesn't know is that, and doesn't realize, and those that do that don't realize, is greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen? We need to remember that and be encouraged by that. And I'm sure Stephen was mindful of the Lord's presence in his life, even as Joseph was mindful of the Lord's presence as he endured many things, and David as well. And so we find that they accuse him in verse 13 of three things, and they accuse him of blasphemous words against this holy place and the law, and eventually against Moses in verse 14, and certainly they twist the words of Jesus as well. And so here we find in verse 14, it mentions here that, for we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change this customs which Moses delivered. Now, that refers back to what Jesus said back in John chapter 2, where Jesus said that if they would destroy this temple. Now, who destroyed this temple that Jesus was referring to? He was referring to his body, wasn't he? And he said that when they did, what would happen to them? They would see him after 3 days. He says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Well, they said, you know, how long have we been seen this building, and it isn't even finished yet? And here the Lord says this. And so they try and misuse the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the midst of that, they miss the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. To me, that is so significant in our witness, the early church. What was their, as it were, their chorus that they sang over and over again? It was the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Certainly, we ought to include that in our testimony and our witness as well. And so, these false witnesses were defending the edifice of the temple and missed the truth of Jesus Christ's resurrection. Certainly, the enemies of the truth often twist words to accuse faithful witnesses and try to deny the person and the work of Jesus Christ. He did not fear these men of hatred. I think this is so significant when we see Stephen as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He's not fearful. He is a man of faith, and he's trusting God's power to impact people. And notice, you know, if you had people that came and snatched you up and took you out of a crowd and set you in front of a jury and start saying, you're going to pay for this, do you think you might be just trembling just a little bit? Not Stephen. He did not respond. He did not react to what their deeds were and to their words. And notice what... how did he do this? It says in verse 15, and all sat in the council, looked steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Here is Stephen, peace in his heart, because he is looking higher than what surrounds him. He is looking to the Lord. And so we find him that he is a good soldier of Jesus Christ, and that he can shine even in the midst of the battle. I don't know how many of you read this week on January 28th, the devotional in the feature, but I thought it was so excellent. And it refers back to Psalm 34, verses 4 and 5, I sought the Lord, and he delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. No. I don't know that we use that term, we have lightened faces, okay? What does that mean, all right? And I thought it was interesting in the feature, it says, people who are looking intently to God reflect the joy of his presence. They become cheerful and their faces, we use this term instead of lightened, their faces brighten up and shine. Where do they get that brightening up and that shining? Because they are looking to Jesus and the Son of Righteousness is shining on them. It's a reflection. Certainly, I think that is something that we need to remember, to be men of faith rather than men of fear in the midst of hatred. Now, folks, there could be coming more hatred towards us. But let's keep our eyes on the Lord and let him be working in us and keeping our faith on him, that we might respond in the right way as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. I believe that certainly Stephen was not only a spirit-filled man and a good soldier of Jesus Christ, but he was also a student of the Word of God. We don't have time tonight to go through all 60 verses of Acts chapter 7, but I wish we did. But I just want to deal with the opposition here a little bit. And here is Stephen. He's giving his defense that he was not a blasphemer, but really he turns the tables on those that were his accusers, and he says, you are the guilty ones. Well, isn't that amazing, the power of God that can do that? Because why? Stephen had been in the book. He had been listening. He had been to synagogue. He had heard the words of God, and he had put those words in his heart. And when it came time for him to stand up for Jesus Christ, he knew how to use the Word of God and apply it correctly. Oh, would to God that we would spend more time in God's Word, that we might be able to answer men of the reason of the hope that is in us and point them to Jesus Christ. And certainly the first thing that came up is in Acts chapter 7 and verses 36 and 37. He says he's talking about Moses. They'd accused him of turning Moses away. And he says, this Moses whom they refused, saying, okay, who's they? That's Israel. All right. In verse 35, who made thee ruler or a judge? And a judge, the same God sent to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out, and after that he showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. Was Stephen acting disrespectful of Moses? No, he was saying, this man was God's man. And he says then in verse 37, this is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me, and him shall ye hear. Who was he talking about there? He was talking about Jesus Christ. Isn't it interesting that here Stephen turns the tables and he says, you need to get the right image of who Moses was. He was one who was prophesying. He was one who was pointing to Jesus Christ. And then we find in his second defense here concerning the law. In verses 39 to 43, he says, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust them from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us. For as for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot or know not what is become of him. And they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifice unto an idol and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. They Then God turned and gave them up to worship a host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of God of Rephan, figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you beyond Babylon. Ooh, they kind of forgot their history, didn't they? Concerning the law, they had failed, and they had made idols instead of worshiping the one true God. Guilty. They knew it. History told them they had spent 70 years in Babylon. Wow. This Stephen, he knows the Bible. And he's bringing the home the truths of the Bible so that the Spirit of God can work in people's hearts. And then we find this attitude of worshiping the edifice of the temple rather than worshiping the God who lives in heaven. And so we find in verses 51 to 53, or 48 to 50, we find here that he talks about that. He talks about Solomon built this house in verse 47, and then in verse 48, he says, Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hands made all these things? And so here was Stephen pointing to them that God's dwelling place was in heaven, and that he had changed his dwelling place at that moment when he sent his son. He wanted to have a dwelling place in the hearts of men. Wow. He was getting pretty close to home. And he was bringing the truth of the Holy Spirit's message, but they resisted that, and he confronted them concerning this in his trial as well. And that's where it did not go so well, but he told the truth. He says, ye stiff-necked, in verse 51, and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one? Who is the just one? Jesus Christ. And of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. He's saying, your sins put Jesus Christ on the cross, the innocent one, dying for you who are the guilty ones. That did not go well. It says, who have received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it, you have sinned. Ooh. Certainly, he was a man who was bold in his faith and stood up for the things that were there. But I believe that there is a fourth description of Stephen tonight. Not only was he a spirit-filled servant, a soldier of Jesus Christ, and a student of the Word of God, but he was also a soul winner to his last word. In verse 54, we find there, when they heard these things, they were cut to heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being filled of the Holy Ghost. Here is Stephen, okay? I mean, he's surrounded by enemies. Stephen, aren't you just a little bit forgetful? No, he says, I'm not forgetful at all. The Spirit of God is still in control of my life, and I still have his power. And he says, being full of the Holy Ghost, he looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Now, he was certainly identifying Jesus Christ. The term the Son of Man in the Old Testament, the Jewish people knew that was the Messiah. And so he says, I see the one whom you crucified is alive, and not only is he alive, but he is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. No priest ever sat, but this one does, because he had triumph. And he was in glory. Whoa! I mean to tell you, he was laying it on the line with these people, telling them exactly who Jesus Christ and where he was. And then we find, it says, then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Do you remember the synagogue of Cilicia? Here is a meeting again. And probably part of this council was Saul of Tarsus, a Pharisee. And he was one who was saying, yes, we need to stone these Christians. And his clothes lies at Saul's feet. Can you imagine Stephen being stoned? And he's looking not at the crowd. I believe at this point, Stephen is looking at one man, Saul. And his face was brightened, and it left an indelible image on Saul, who would become Paul. I believe at that point, it was Stephen after another man's soul. And he was going to be a personal evangelist. And so he goes from that point and confident of his eternal future. What does Stephen say in verse 59? He says, Lord Jesus, he uses the name. He's not ashamed of the name of Jesus Christ. He says, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. There is the blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. And so Stephen, he goes and looks towards heaven, and he knows where he's going. He has this solid assurance. He proclaims the name of Jesus Christ one more time, but look at his last words. He kneels down and cries with a loud voice. Who does this remind you of? Jesus on the cross, he cried with a loud voice. The victor's voice. Here's a man dying with a loud voice. I tell you what, that could have only come from God himself. And the Lord, he says, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Even as Jesus cried on the cross, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Here was Stephen, so filled with the Spirit of God and Jesus Christ, that he exactly did the same thing that Jesus did on the cross. Certainly no hatred in Stephen, only supernatural love for a lost soul. Certainly it flowed out of Stephen's lips and his heart, and Stephen's prayer was mightily answered in the conversion of the one man that he was seeking to win to Jesus Christ. Saul became Paul by the grace of God. Folks, we may not always see the fruit, but praise God, he will produce the fruit because he is all powerful. May God give us deacons that serve the Lord and certainly know his wisdom and power and stand up for the Lord, who know how to rightly apply the word of God and love souls. Folks, I challenged you last week, pray for your pastor. I hope you pray for your deacons. They need your prayers. I tell you what, I hear your deacons praying for you on Sunday morning when we have our half-hour meeting. That's one reason we have it, is that we might pray for you. But you need to pray for them as well. And certainly God can do great things through those that are filled and under the control of the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you now for what you will accomplish in each of our lives. Lord, we have a great task, but we know that through you, we can see great things accomplished, not in our strength, but in your power. Give us the faith. Give us not only the faith, but the power and the wisdom that we might serve you by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.